challenging part is just keeping ourselves up to date and making sure that we are current and we are still effective at what we do. We don't get stuck in that, well, this is how I teach. No, we have to adapt.
I'm quite happy to stay within Scotland for now, but it's not to say in future I might consider going abroad.
Welcome to Sparks Remarks with Barry Mackay and Kim McAllister. Today we're heading to Inverness College to hear a lecturer's point of view on electrical apprenticeship.
Yes, set whole college consortiums where the colleges get together to discuss everything surrounding the apprenticeship. The coursework that we ask apprentices to achieve is challenging in many ways, and Andrew McIntosh from UHI Inverness was making some really good points that I think everybody, especially employers, should be aware of. So I thought it'd be good to invite him along and do the podcast.
You invited him? Did you have to bribe him? Strong arm him?
No, thankfully, working with the electrical departments, they're always willing to help and progress the trade in any way that they can help out. So thankfully, Andrew was happy to come along and even brought along one of his apprentices from the college too.
Oh, brilliant. Great. It'll be great to hear the two points of view. So let's get them on, shall we? Ryan and Andrew, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
You're not too bad.
Can I ask you to start, Andrew, by introducing yourself, please?
Yeah, certainly. I'm Andy McIntosh. I'm the Deputy Curriculum Lead for Engineering Technology here at UHI Inverness. I am the Operational Manager for the Electrical Installation Team and the Electrical Mechanical Engineering Team.
Hello, I'm Ryan. I'm a second-year apprentice at Inverness College, and I work for A&M Electrical.
I've been with the college since 2009, so about just coming up 15 years now.
Wow, so you know what you're talking about then?
I would never claim that at all, but people seem to think I know what I'm talking about.
And you must have seen a lot. 15 years is a long time to be teaching something, and I'm sure you've seen trends come and go. And what would you say have been the highlights over your career so far?
In terms of highlights, it's quite tricky to pick something out of that sort of time span. But yeah, I think just the methods and media and technology that's available to us as teaching aids, they're tools like anything else, tools in a toolbox. They're teaching aids to help us enhance it. So when I was a student there, how you learned was that the lecturer would put the notes up on a overhead projection screen and an acetate sheet, and you would copy down the notes and then you would reread the notes and you would get an assessment there, and that would not hold any water today. A lot of students would be horrified, outraged probably. So I think, yeah, some of the highlights there, so podcasts and different medias there that we've got, online learning and videos and the use of augmented reality and things like that. It really is exciting, you know, in terms of that, interactive applications and things like that.
Teaching for so many years, you must have had some really rewarding moments. What do you enjoy most about your position?
I think it's a student achievement, which may sound a little bit cliche, but it's about that journey, because you see somebody come in, with spanning the time that I've been here, you see a student come in and they are just out of school and their knowledge is very limited, and the old adage of they don't know the difference between a lock nut and a hazelnut. Watching that timestamp as they progress through their apprenticeship and indeed return as qualified electricians for commercial activity, and then you're no longer having that teaching part of it. It's that peer conversation, that robust discussion about, they'll come to you with a very specific problem and you have that discussion, and it's really enjoyable to have that and rewarding to say that you were part of that journey. You would never see that, well, they're there because of me. No, they did the work, absolutely 100%. I was just a guide. It's very humbling to be part of that journey.
Yeah, definitely. And then on the flip side, it can be an easy job. What have you found challenging over the years?
I think it's keeping up with how our learners learn. Each cohort will come in and then we'll have a specific set of needs and they'll learn a set way. And it's setting that bar of, how am I going to pitch this class? How do I get what's in my head into their heads, so to speak, and then they understand what I'm talking about there. What you can do is you can go through a lesson and say, well, change that for next year, and then you change it and it doesn't work because you have to go back to the way you did it before. So the challenging part is just keeping ourselves up to date and making sure that we are current and we are still effective at what we do. We don't get stuck in that, well, this is how I teach. No, we have to adapt.
Well, I'd like to bring Ryan in at that point, Ryan, if you wouldn't mind. It's probably not something you've ever really stopped to think about, is how do people teach me? Like, how is it for them? But speaking for yourself, what kind of learner are you? Do you need everything, you know, in front of you to be able to touch it? Or are you quite cerebral? How do you learn? What's the best way for you?
I think a bit of both, because the things that get taught, it's all fine and well written and spoken, but I think until you actually see it in person, you're not really to know what it's all about. So definitely a wee bit though.
And do you like having your classmates around you rather than the kind of online environment? Do you need that energy, or do you prefer peace to kind of concentrate?
To be honest, I don't mind a bit of peace, but it is quite good having everyone around, because everyone's chipping in with their own ideas and experiences with certain aspects. So no, it's good.
What's the atmosphere like in the class? Because I have an image of you all ribbing each other and winding each other up and having a bit of a laugh. Is that right?
No, probably going to sound quite boring. It's quite settled, to be honest. Yeah.
Everyone's there to do a job and learn.
From my point of view, I think it varies from group to group. They'll set their own kind of social presence in the class, and some are more vocal than others, and others are, as you say, they're downright, I'm here to do a job. And particularly when you get to beyond that apprenticeship, HSE level will come in, and that's very much what they're like. They're focused there. That's, again, part of that journey, and in that sense.
Yeah, I'm going to introduce a little bit of a controversy, if you don't mind. There's been some discussion in general, I guess, with education about standards and whether the standards are dropping or increasing. Do you feel like the school leavers are coming to you with the standards that you expect, or do you have to do some remedial work? What's the kind of general picture?
It's a very much a sliding scale of, in the sense of, you will have people that meet the requirements. Absolutely, some will excel and they will go through it absolutely fine there. And then there's probably the percentage in the middle of the road that, with a little bit of what we call bridging, they will get there. And then the other sort of 20% or so that may struggle. Now, whether that's through additional needs or whether it is through their comprehension in terms of the level, the pace at which the course has been set, because college is wildly different from school, you know, in terms of that. It's an adult learning environment, and it's that transition. And in terms of standards, I mean, like anything else, it's how are you measuring that standard? In that sense there, it's far too easy to say, oh, they don't work as hard, they're always on their phones and all the rest of it. It's far too easy to jump on that sort of that rhetoric. But if you have to think about the environment and the culture in which these children are growing up, and the young adults and apprentices have grown up in, it's wildly different to the ones that we did. I grew up without any internet. You're comparing apples and pears. You know, it's completely different. And the culture and the environment, we're a victim of our own sort of circumstance and to a degree, because if you take that Snapchat, TikTok culture of anything more than 30 seconds and you're not going to hold my attention, well, children are exposed from that from like 12 through to 16, and then you say, now you have to focus for 3 hours. It's like, whoa, what? And again, it's that now I'm expecting you to do some reflection, and you need to tell me what you're thinking. And they've never been exposed to that previously, so they're coming to an idea cold. So it is, I mean, dropping of standards, you would say, yeah, the English levels and maths levels and things like that, certainly like mental maths and things that we would have done historically, they've always used calculators. So again, far too easy to blame the output of something that we create. I think it's, again, how you measure that standard. But yeah, we do have students with increased additional needs in that sense there, and also maybe not quite at the level they need to be for starting the course.
Yeah.
Not an easy course to get into, though. I mean, all the apprentices we've spoken to for this podcast were absolutely thrilled when they got a spot. So I imagine even to get onto the course is an achievement in itself, and then the work begins.
Yeah, I think that's one of the first things that I say to that when I meet the students the first time. It's like, well done for gaining an apprenticeship. You have proven to an employer that you are worth taking a chance on in that respect there. Now the hard work begins, so to speak, because the only way you can get onto the apprenticeship or the SQQ level 3 is through employment. Can't study it any other way, and rightly so.
Yeah, well, Ryan, it'd be interesting to hear your experience. If we could kind of go back a step, why did you want to do this apprenticeship? What inspired you?
Well, something I've always fancied doing, and I've got quite a few friends that were in the trade already. So from hearing their stories and how they were getting on at work, it just seemed like quite a good fit for what I wanted to do in my life. So I'm loving it. So it's quite right with the decision that I made.
And had you considered anything else? Had your eyes sort of travelled different paths, or were you like, nope, this is for me?
Well, I actually started this apprenticeship a bit later than the rest of them. I did an apprenticeship in panel beating. And, you know, every day I was turning up to work, I just didn't feel like it was the right fit. I did sort of enjoy it, but I couldn't see myself doing it forever. So with having that in mind, I just thought, I don't do it now, I never will. So I just bit the bullet and I went to it. And yeah, I'm glad I did.
This is the right choice for you. You're happy you've switched.
Well, I'm hoping for the rest of my life, yeah. So.
Oh, that's great. Do you think that maybe gave you a bit of an edge, though, coming a wee bit later, having that experience behind you? Were you maybe a bit more prepared than some of your classmates?
I would say so. Obviously, it's a completely different course, and it's definitely a lot harder in terms of the mental aspect of it with your maths, going back into that from school, which is obviously a long time ago. But yeah, it definitely did set me in good stead for what's expected from an employer and how to get on with their work, yeah.
Yeah. I imagine for an apprentice, that confidence that you start with, you know, as you've just said, Andrew, someone's decided I'm worth it, which is a lovely way to feel, and I'm obviously good enough, so I could do this if I put my mind to it. Do you feel like confidence is something that you have to work on with the apprentices, Andrew?
100%, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people coming in there, they will have that 16 to 18 year old confidence, which is, you're faking it until you're making it sort of thing. You know, they're putting on a bravado in a room full of other people in that sense there. But confidence in how you interact with your peers and confidence in how you apply yourself at work are two different things. And it's about going through the processes of saying that and them checking with you and you sort of saying, yes, that's right. Have confidence in what you're saying. You are correct. Your thought process is correct. You do know this. As I suppose it's part of that meta skills that they're talking about there. Everybody's got their head around core skills, and they were talking about meta skills, and who knows what will be in 10 years, but that social intelligence, that innovation, that self-management aspect there. So it's about those tools that people need, and that's very much embedded into the course there, and it's something that they develop over the whole course. That to develop over 1 year would be possible. It's something that will develop over the apprenticeship and continue to develop through their professional careers.
Yeah. The one thing that keeps coming up with all the apprentices we've spoken to for this podcast is homework and how it came as a horrible shock, how much homework they'd have, how many pieces of written coursework they'd have to submit, how they'd need to stay on top of their coursework. Is that the thing that they struggle with most with you, Andrew, as well?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a couple of things in terms of what I think students seem to struggle with. One is that transition from secondary education to further education. We're coming into an adult learning environment where you have to self-manage your time and you will be expected to do work in your own time beyond the three or four questions your teacher used to send you on Google Classrooms and things like that there. It's going to be different for each student in terms of what they struggle with, but sometimes it can be like, what are they being taught in college? How does that apply to my work? Because it's dependent if they're exposed to it or not, because we might be talking about something in an industrial setting, and if a student is just doing domestic work, then they may struggle with that. So I think it's very much linked in with what they're getting exposed to at work and how they're able to carry forward the principles that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So those are the two things I think that they'd struggle with, that transition period and also that application and retention, and linking back to that standards thing. It's just a lot of people will sort of, I learn what I need for an assessment, pass the assessment, and then there's like a delete button in their head. It's just pass that assessment, a delete, and because you go and ask them about it 6 months later, and not in all cases, but in some cases, and it's not there, and it's like, okay, and you have to sort of, but well, remember this, and then they'll have that sort of eureka moment. Oh yeah, right, I remember now.
What about for you, Ryan? What was the hardest thing for you when you started your apprenticeship and as you moved through it?
Well, like I mentioned before, I think it was getting back into the groove of doing maths, because from going from school and not using that at all, well, obviously using some of it, but not as much as we are here, it took a while to sort of get back into the way of the thinking. But it didn't take too long to get back into it, so it wasn't too bad.
And are you quite an organised person? Are you okay with sort of keeping on top of all the bits and pieces that you need?
Yeah, I think I would stress myself out too much if it wasn't, because there is quite a lot, especially in first year, in terms of submissions. As time's gone on, it's not too bad, and it's the work has eased off, and there's more time, sometimes in class, even to get stuff completed, so it's not too stressful anymore, but it was definitely first year.
That's encouraging. It gets easier. That's always a nice message.
Easier in terms of, I think, also, you learn to manage your work more into second year because he had the experience from first. So it becomes easier in that way.
In terms of next steps, I know you have to do another couple of years. You've got your FICA and then you're out into the big bad world, but earning some pretty good money by the sound of things.
Well, I think it opens a lot of doors, and it just depends of what you fancy, because I think there's a lot for the taking. Sort of the world's your oyster.
That's a lovely way to feel. And
yeah,
is that definitely the case for them when they're qualified?
Very much so. I mean, it's an SVQ level 3. I mean, it's a very high, you know, high level qualification, because they can now go into office work, they could go into design, they could take it themselves anywhere across the world. But in the north here, it's so buoyant at the moment. We have 4 groups of apprentices here in Inverness just now. It is so buoyant, the market, with everything that's going on here. We have the Green Port talks up here, and we have the port authorities, and then industry as well. We've got housing markets and investment of the building of business parks and things like that. And there's so much going on. There's not enough electricians. That's the problem. So, which is a good problem to have in one respect, not so much in another when you're trying to get buildings made.
Yes. No, I think if you're going to put yourself through the apprenticeship, it's wonderful to know that you've got your pick of the jobs at the end of it. So it's really good to hear that. And then from an employer's perspective, it sounds like they need electricians regardless, but what sort of things would you say they're looking for in particular in the graduates?
It's down to the individual employer needs, which can change from year to year, depending on the contract they get. Some employers would like somebody who's just leaving school so they can sort of mold them into their thought processes and how they do things. And then equally in the other end of the spectrum, you've got someone who says, well, I want someone who's older who can drive, who I can lead them to do, they can do more independent work. You know, I will get more out of them in that aspect there, or someone with a bit of experience, just life experience. Some employers will, it depends on the model and what contract they're trying to fill. But with a lot of them, I think it very much is down to the fit. It's like the fit of the company and you know, will you fit in with this company? There's a personality element there, because knowledge you can impart, but attitude and application, that's something that's more difficult to impart, if you will. So I think it's down to that fit. How will you fit in with my company, so to speak?
Yeah, and I imagine if, as you say, the market's buoyant, then it's also up to the employers to make themselves attractive to the apprentices or the qualified electricians. So Ryan, what are you looking for? What do you need from an employer that would make them more attractive to you?
I think it would be the type of work and how busy they are, because then you've got the confidence that in your employment, you're pretty safe.
And would you like to travel, do you think? Or are you happy to stay within Scotland? How's your ambition?
I'm quite happy to stay within Scotland for now, but it's not to say in the future I might consider going abroad.
And it's great. You have obviously all the opportunities if you decide that is something for you, yeah?
Definitely, yeah. It's nice knowing that.
And so if you were to speak to someone who's, say, 15, 16, thinking about maybe taking this apprenticeship, what advice would you give them?
Just to go for it, because I do wish I did it sooner, because it would be nice to be qualified by now. But it's never too late to start anyway. But yeah, definitely sticking with the maths in school and just have a good attitude towards the work and want to succeed and do the best you can.
And Andrew, what advice would you give from the sort of lecturer's perspective?
I think it would be come in with your eyes open, if you will, in terms of what the industry's about. And I would say get as much information as you can before making that step to make sure it is the right fit for you. That's the biggest thing that we spend a lot of time as sort of the background about, getting that right person to the right course, that right fit, because that's going to lead to a positive outcome. Make sure that you are, if you're not quite at the level, get yourself to that level before coming on the course, because it's going to make it so much easier when it comes to the going through the course. In the apprenticeship, you are going to get some jobs that you don't like, and you're going to have to get crawling under floors and all this good stuff, as they say, but you have to do it in order to sort of get that experience and learn from the people that you're working with, because they are a fountain of knowledge.
We seem to have struck gold with the people that we asked to come onto the podcast. There's a lot of my thought in how the apprenticeship is. Andrew touched on loads of wee nuggets in there about most of the time the college support systems are there if somebody has got the enthusiasm to actually want to do it. But it's getting the person with the right enthusiasm that actually sees what is available at the end. And again, we've touched on that. The whole world is open. I think I might have touched on previously, my boy's working in Frankfurt now. He's been working in Sweden. He's been working in Ireland. And he's absolutely loving life, making good money, and touring the world. So there's definitely opportunities. There is a lot of work. You know, you're touching on that starter degree sort of level. And in the maths, the RLNC, the sort of formulas that they have to use with six or seven elements in it, that it's not easy. Thankfully, most employers have been through the scheme themselves, so they know what, and the science hasn't changed, as you can imagine. It's probably been the same since Faraday. They have to realise that there has to be a certain standard of apprentice coming in. I think it makes everybody's life that wee bit easier when you've got somebody, as I said, that's enthusiastic and wants to learn.
From the college point of view, it's all about achievement. We want people to come in and achieve. It's getting that positive experience, because if somebody has a negative experience with education, it takes them years to overcome that. And sometimes they might not, you know. So it is so critical that we get the right fit there of people on the courses. When someone's not at that level, you end up, you know, it's not enjoyable for them, and they are seeing that as a sort of endurance almost there. Well, it should be. It should be something that you're enthusiastic about, you're enjoying all the rest of it. I suppose the wonderful thing about the industry and the people that you work with is you have a bad day, the day ends, you go home, and the next day's a fresh start.
Yeah, and I think it's a wee bit like that at the college as well, where, you know, you can turn up one day and it's just no going, it's just no good into the head, and you're just no getting it. And then the next day you can go in. Beauty is there's normally maybe three or four lecturers that are dealing with a class. So you might go up and ask that lecturer or have a chat with a training officer and say, listen, what about this scenario I've got? I've got a problem. Can you try and help me sort it? Because part of the course is problem solving. They will have problems and you've got to solve them. Because once you're a tradesperson and you're out in that field and you're by yourself and you've been asked to complete a job and something goes wrong, you have to have that problem solving mentality where you can say, right, okay, this isn't going to work, something's been put in the road, normally a plumber or a joiner's put a wall or a pipe. What, how are we going to get around that?
Yeah,
that's definitely something that transition of some students can have difficulty with, is that problem solving, that initiative, that thinking of okay, what do I do now, because they've gone through the large portion of their educational life of going, you do this, then you do this, there's the answer.
And just to make you aware as well, Kim, what we do is at the end of each portfolio and project that the apprentices go through, they have a reflection account. They then rate themselves on, did I use problem solving? Did I use communication? Did I work with others? Did I, and to actually reflect, because sometimes, again, it's like, I can't do this. I've never done this before. And when you actually say, well, actually... Do you remember when you were in the workshop and you actually had to work with somebody to build something, or you had to go and ask the store guy for some material? That's working with others. It's letting them see that actually, as part of the process, this SVQ didn't just appear.
Well, this has been really, really interesting. I really appreciate you guys giving us your time. I always find it so interesting, and I start to think, I wonder if my son could be a good electrician. So he's only 9. It certainly sounds like a brilliant career. So thank you both very much. That was such an interesting chat, Barry. Thanks so much for getting Andrew and Ryan on. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was really good. Really, really good. It's just interesting, even from my point of view, and I've been working with SEC for over 25 years, that you still like to reinforce the information that you have and the direction that we're travelling. It was good to see a lot of the the points that we're trying to put into the SVQ coming to fruition.
Brilliant. And if anyone is listening and wants to hear more about becoming an apprentice, where would they go for more information?
As usual, it would be going to the website, and that's www.sect.org.uk. And it's a brand new shiny website, so please go along and hopefully the user experience is a bit better.
And you're on socials too, aren't you?
Yes, we're on Facebook and we're on Twitter. So please give us a like and a follow.
It's X these days, Barry. Come on.
Oh, I keep on saying Twitter, don't I? I use it every day as well.